your jobs, for your wages, your factories, your families, and your dignity.
That's President Trump boasting about the high rate of employment across the country under his presidency. In the lead up to 2016, the promise of jobs played a major role in his campaign, and it's been a point the administration has continued to drive home.
Today, we are celebrating the one-year anniversary of the White House's pledge to America's workers, a call to action for business and industry to create more and better jobs for Americans.
The national unemployment rate is at one of the lowest levels in recent history, but in some swing states, new data shows upticks in the unemployment rate, places like Wisconsin, New Hampshire, North Carolina, and Michigan, where there are fewer jobs today than just 1 year ago. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today on The Takeaway, rumblings of climbing unemployment in swing states and why it matters for 2020. Joining us now to help us understand all this is Heather Long, economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And we're also joined by Arnie Kallberg, a Kennan Distinguished Professor of Sociology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Welcome to The Takeaway, Arnie.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
So, Heather, what does this data actually show us when we talk about unemployment rate? Is it that less people are finding work or looking for work?
Well, it sort of varies state by state, but usually when the unemployment rate is rising, one of two things is happening. One is what we all would think is there's people are losing jobs or there's fewer jobs out there. The other, though, is more of a good trend, and that is when more people are looking for work and maybe they haven't found that job yet, but they're out there seeking a job again, that can also cause the unemployment rate to rise. And specifically, we looked at all the trends to make sure we really understood what was going on in the swing states, and certainly in the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, and North Carolina. What we're seeing is either a plateauing of employment or employment going down, particularly in Wisconsin. So this is not some sort of positive story where more people are simply looking for work and haven't found jobs yet.
Arnie, when we think about the states that Heather just mentioned, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Minnesota, what's the economic makeup? I mean, what are the main industries at play here?
Well, these are heavily manufacturing states. In North Carolina, you used to have furniture and textiles. Now you have more high-tech kind of things. In the Midwest, the auto industry has a bigger role, as well as heavy, more what used to be mass production industries.
And Heather, in these states where we're seeing some of these upticks, are there specific populations that are more affected than others? Are we talking about low-wage workers, service industry workers, white-collar workers?
Well, our analysis really dug county by county, because the point is that with the national unemployment rate at 3.6%, that sounds great, but local economies can be very, very different across the United States. We've always known that. That's not a new phenomenon. But what's new this time around is when you look at a state like a Wisconsin, you really see the northern part of the state, which has more agricultural, more manufacturing, more of the low-wage retail jobs, and also the western part of the state are the ones where we've seen more of an increase in unemployment in the past year. So again, it varies county by county. I think when people look at this map, they're really drilling in. From my home state of Pennsylvania, there's parts of the middle that have seen rises in unemployment, whereas outside Philadelphia, those swing critical counties in the Philly suburbs, they look great. Unemployment there has fallen. There are more people working in those areas.
And Heather, we talked to some journalists in some of the places that you mentioned, and they said, you know, a lot of people here on the ground, at least, aren't feeling these changes as significantly? I mean, what do you make of that?
It's early days. What we're showing is the beginnings of a turn. There's no doubt, and I just pulled the numbers before we started talking, that a state like Wisconsin on election day in October 2016 or heading into November election day, the unemployment rate was 3.9% for the state. Right now it's 3.2. So for many communities, things are better than it was on election day in 2016. But what we're starting to see in some of of these places, particularly in the upper Midwest, is we're starting to see that things are a little bit worse than they were a year ago. So for instance, in Wisconsin, we've seen unemployment tick up a couple of tenths of a percent. That may not register to people right now, but when you think about where things could be a year from now, I would be nervous if I'm the Trump economic team if anything got worse in some of these places in Wisconsin or Michigan, because the two biggest drivers for most polling, what can turn an election, it's the unemployment rate getting a lot higher or turnout being a lot stronger. And obviously Michigan and Wisconsin were very close in 2016. If there's more turnout in Detroit and Milwaukee, that could help the Democrats. And if that unemployment rate ticks up, some of these people in the more rural and suburban areas who came out for Trump in 2016 may not be as motivated this time around.
I want to talk a lot more about how this is potentially going to influence 2020 in just a second. Arnie, one of the things we hear a lot about, and we've talked about it a lot on this show, is that there, we're on the brink of a possible recession. Are any of those fears materializing in some of the data that we're talking about today? Can we tie any of this to any larger national economic trends?
Well, I mean, there has been a recovery. There are many positive indicators in the economy, but the recession is really more about the gross GDP rather than unemployment, but rather than the jobs picture, though the two are related, of course. So that may very well be the case. I think a bigger issue for many workers, though, in addition to the unemployment rate, is the quality of these jobs. And while people may have jobs, we have to look at the kinds of jobs they have. Many of these jobs are low wage, in addition to being low skilled. The two are related, of course. And so and many of them don't provide benefits and so on. So while the unemployment rate might say one thing, the quality of these jobs have to be examined as well.
So when we talk about quality, I mean, you mentioned wages. Are we talking about also things like benefits, like health insurance, things like that?
Sure. In the United States, given our employer-delivered system of health care and retirement benefits, those are crucial. But it's also things like people having control over their scheduling and what they do during the day. These are things that matter a lot to people in terms of having control over their lives and having control over their days and their family situations and so on.
Heather, let's take a look. You mentioned 2016. Remind us how some of these swing states in particular voted the last presidential election, Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Minnesota.
Well, obviously, most of these states went for Trump by just a very slim margin. Michigan was the closest, barely over 10,000 votes swinging to Trump, followed by Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. So that's why there's so much attention on the economies in those states. Wisconsin is particularly interesting because in that state, you can register the day of to vote, and there was a particularly high number of white men who came to the polls on election day and were able to vote in the state of Wisconsin and mostly went for Trump. And that's why there's been a lot of attention. One of my colleagues was just on the ground in Milwaukee and reporting about efforts in some neighborhoods in Milwaukee to try to encourage more people of color to come out to vote on election day in 2020. I think what's interesting to me is and some of the people we talked to for our story, they are starting to notice, say, more people showing up at food banks, more people losing jobs. They weren't necessarily great jobs to begin with. And one of the communities we focus on, Marionette and Marionette County, which is right on the border between Wisconsin and Michigan, the jobs that were lost were these $7, $8, $9, $10 an hour retail jobs. But I think what's interesting is people are not necessarily blaming Trump for what's going on. They don't. I think in the national conversation, we talk constantly about the trade war and what kind of impact that's having on a number of industries, particularly manufacturing and agriculture. But it's interesting. I don't yet hear that quite as much in some parts of these key swing states.
And Heather, what do you attribute that to? I mean, we know, for example, that President Trump's approval rating has hovered around 40%. 40% since taking office. And that's, you know, I mean, you know, if you want to look at the impeachment inquiry, the Mueller report, et cetera, et cetera. Politics have obviously played a role in that. But this is hitting people's bottom line, if you will, and something that the president definitely campaigned on and continues to drive home. So what? Why do you think there's such a reluctance to connect those two things, even among his base?
I think when I talk to certainly farmers, a number of people will say, look, we want this issue addressed with China. They see it almost in a nationalistic context that I'm willing to suffer a little bit of pain for a bigger long-term gain. Of course, the question is, what is that long-term gain going to be? And that's where a lot of that pressure is on the White House right now to deliver something concrete, a concrete win in this latest round of U.S.-China trade negotiations. So I think that's playing a part as well. And then I think realistically, again, it's everything's about relative positioning. And in a lot of these communities, I often stress to my editors, and when they say, do people think there's going to be a recession? I say, look, the best thing you can do is drive around these communities and look and count how many we're hiring signs are out. I was just in the middle of Pennsylvania recently, and I came back and I said, look, there's still a lot of we're hiring signs up, even though we're starting to see a flattening out of employment levels. So we're not seeing a ton of hiring in some of these states. Until that visible sign of a healthy economy starts to change, it may not impact people's psyches.
Also, to Arnie's point, I mean, we're hiring, but for what, right? I mean, are we hiring for low-wage jobs or part-time jobs? Arnie, when you look ahead to 2020, do you think employment or unemployment, as you will, particularly in these swing states, are going to play a role in the election, whether that means people pointing the finger at President Trump in advance or pointing the finger at President Trump at the ballot box?
Sure. The unemployment rate is the most visible indicator of the health of the job economy, but it's a flawed indicator. As we all know. In fact, our president said that when he was running for election the first time. It's the most phony number he's ever seen. So the unemployment rate is what people think about, and that's what's publicized. But we have to look beyond the unemployment rate to see what the quality of those jobs are and whether or not people are able to make a living for themselves and their family with the jobs that they do have.
Arnie Kallenberg is a professor of sociology at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Heather and Arnie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.